Good morning, everybody. Wow, people in a building. This is a little new for me, okay? It's been a spell, but yes, as Pastor Patrick said, we are the Chestnuts. We good? We sound good? I got a thumbs up from Troy, okay. It is phenomenal to be with all of you this morning, and I'm kind of humbled by that introduction, to be honest, just to hear even a little bit of Patrick talk about the process of us even coming into this position, because what was really funny, he was right. As we recognized that God was pulling us back onto the mission field again, I recognized that our church in Florida probably wouldn't go along. They were going in a different direction in terms of where they wanted to focus. And so it was the question then of what are we going to need for a sending church, a kind of a key home church. And so when we came up here and we went to lunch and I sat down and I just kind of, you know, very carefully, you know, PC, if you will, explain the situation as to what was going on, because you got to be careful in some of these scenarios. And I said, you know, I'm very casually walking it through with Patrick. And at the end, he just goes, oh, so what do you want us to support you? Yeah, don't be stupid. Yeah, come on. Of course we will. Don't be dumb. Oh, okay, great, cool. That was fun. Great. So we are missionaries with Josiah Venture, and again, I am really humbled that you guys get to be our what we call our home church, because Patrick is right. From all the way back in, even a little before that, 2010, 2011, somewhere in there, you guys have sent teams on multiple occasions that have come and participated in the English camp ministry that we were originally part of, and so just to continue our relationship together is really exciting, and we just consider that a huge blessing. And again, just to be with you this morning and to share from the Word is also just a real honor. And I've been watching your services online. That's one of the advantages that's taken place over the last number of years. So I just needed to assume the position. Okay, I think this is how I'm supposed to do it, right? This is how I'm. It's more of an up and a. Is it this much of an angle? I don't know how much angle I'm supposed to. Sorry, it's a slap. All right, it's more. It's usually this, though. My southern background just recoils. How dare you? No. So like I said, our original task when we were with JV was on the English camp ministry. We came back to the States, and then now this new role is in a position with the international team of Josiah Venture, because our organization is focused in 16 different countries throughout Central and Eastern Europe. And so we'll do a quick geography lesson for everybody. We're all the way up north in Estonia and all the way down to Montenegro and kind of everybody in the in-between. And lots of people are like, oh, yeah, sure, it's okay. Don't feel bad if you don't know where that is, okay? The Europeans love to point out and say, oh, the Americans, they don't know anything about geography. And I say, fair enough. Where's Ohio? Oh, what? Okay, so doesn't matter. But so our new role is with the international team. And so we get to help facilitate, train, and equip all of these young leaders throughout this region. And so we moved back to the field in 2019. And March 10th, 2020, great year, by the way, if you are unaware of that or not, we were having our very first training team meeting, and so this was exciting for me. We had been on the field just about 6 months, and it was like, okay, I'm kind of getting the groove of what the new job is. This is really cool, and it was Tuesday, and so I opened up this session with a bit of an icebreaker, because, you know, there was something going on in the news in another part of the world, and I said, if you were going to be quarantined for 2 weeks, what would you do? Ha 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 ha. And we went around and everyone said, I would do this, ha 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 ha. And we thought it was funny. And by Thursday, barely 48 hours later, we're going through one of our main sessions talking about some kind of next stages and stuff. And our Ukrainian team, so there's about three of them, all of their phones went off simultaneously. And they grabbed them and they pulled them up and they said, the border's closing in 10 hours and we have to leave right now. And the rest of the world just went nuts from there on out. So how are you? Because it's been 2 years, but it could have been a decade. And I would say that over the course of this last year and a half in particular, I focused the bulk of my time in the Sermon on the Mount. That was something I just kept coming back to. That was something I just stayed in regularly because when everything went bananas, this was the one place I kind of said, where do I need to come back to and ask the question of what does it mean to live in this world? Who am I? What am I supposed to do? What is Jesus saying to me specifically? And so that's really what I wanted to share from this morning because it's been something that's been close to my heart. And I think something that also helps just all of us, because this is Jesus's largest teaching. If it's in Matthew chapter 5, goes all the way to Matthew chapter 7. And I once heard someone refer to this in this way. A speaker got up to this big, I think it was a youth conference actually, and he got up and he said, I'm going to give you the best sermon you've ever heard in your entire life. And then he proceeded to read all of the Sermon on the Mount from start to finish, said nothing else, closed the Bible, and went and sat down. And I'm not going to do that, but I feel that's in the category that this is in. And this is the most important thing because it's Jesus's words directly to us. And the thing I want to look at specifically this morning is also something that helps to, well, kind of, I don't want to say dispel some stereotypes or something, but when I grew up in the church, I'm a pastor's kid. By the way, my mom and dad send greetings to all of you. And when missionaries came into town, it was like, ooh, the missionaries are here. So you know that they're like hot stuff. I mean, the pastor's okay, but like the missionaries, that's like next level Christianity, okay? You know, there's Father, Son, Holy Spirit, and then the missionaries are right underneath. And then we sat through a slide reel of 700,000 sunsets. But if you know those, you're an elite crew. You're an elite crew. But I actually don't believe that. I think missionaries are here in this room right now. I think there are missionaries all over Long Island that I get to look at in the face and get to meet over the course of these next couple weeks. I think there are missionaries all around the world. If we follow Jesus, we are missionaries. And so I would love to just kind of focus, refocus, if you will, and kind of get all of our bearings as to what it is to be missionaries in this world today. And so we are going to be looking at Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 through 16. And there's no comparison in here. We love to compare in this world. We love to just, you know, who's got the better house? Who's got the better car? Who's got the better job? Who's got the better lawn? Who's got the better sports teams? Go Mets. And amen. Amen. Thank you. Yes. Yes. I have a dear friend who loves baseball, actually one of my best friends, and so he loves when I talk about the Mets because I will reference John Franco and Daryl Strawberry and Mike Piazza, and he's like, Rob, name me one player that's on the team in the last 10 years. I have nothing. I just like the colors. Okay, so Matthew chapter 5, 13 through 16. You are the salt of the earth. But if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. This is the word of the Lord. So just some context real quick. This is the opening of the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus is on a mountainside speaking to a large crowd that has gathered around him. And like I said before, this is his teaching and instruction on what it is to be a Christian. And what I think is really neat is he's using terms that would be very familiar to the people in the audience. And not only were they familiar to the people in the audience then, they're familiar to people in the audience right now. Salt and light. And so salt is one of those interesting elements that I think we take for granted today, because it's probably on your kitchen table or next to your stove or in the cabinet or wherever it might be. Or maybe you've got packets of it in your car somewhere mixed all around. And yet salt in that time was of extreme value. In fact, the word salary comes from a Latin word that actually means like payment in salt, because Roman soldiers would be paid in salt. So maybe you've heard the term, he's not worth his salt. This is where it comes from. So it was so valuable. In fact, I did some reading just through history and saw that certain cultures use salt as currency. Even into the 1950s, some people were still using salt as like the prize form of payment. But salt has other values. Salt has other values even in this modern time. What is salt used for today? Preservative. Okay. Oh, you jumped right to the main one. Man, I got to get the... what are some other things salt's used for? Flavor. We got some flavor. Anything else? Huh? Healing. Correct. High blood pressure. Where do we write down the prayer request? Hang on. It's some... taking ailments here. It's okay. No, so salt has multiple uses. Also, you know, if it ices over on your driveway, you know, salt, you know, we need salt in that as well too. Can kind of save our life in some regard. So salt is very significant in its uses. And what's funny is even the uses back then are the similar uses today. It flavors things, all right? It helps to save. It heals in your life. But also, it preserves. In fact, the primary reason they would use salt back in biblical times is to stop the onset of decay. You know, there was, shocker, no refrigeration. And so if you had meat, the only way to keep meat from going bad was you had to rub salt in it and preserve it. Has anybody done that? Has anybody, like, I don't know, make your own jerky or something? I think that's how you do it. I see, obviously, I have no idea what I'm talking about, so case in point. But this is something that was very significant here. This is something they would all recognize, that salt was necessary to stop something bad from happening specifically. And so what does Jesus say again? He says, you are the salt of the earth. Okay. Salt of the earth. So what does that mean? We also use that term. If we say somebody, oh man, they're the salt of the earth, what are we saying about them? They're really good, right? They're not bad. It's not a Southern bless his heart type thing. It's like, no, he's salt of the earth, you know? Like, it's good stuff. It's good stuff. And actually, in all honesty, the way the word is translated, it was probably more like salt of the land. And again, like we said, Jesus is laying the groundwork for what it is to be a part of the kingdom, what it means to follow and belong and be a Christian, if you will. So salt is a valuable commodity that stops decay, stops things from going bad, and brings flavor and is significant for life. And yet, where is this directed towards? You. Let's just read it one more time. You are the salt of the earth. You are the salt of the earth. All right? So it's influence. Like, it's your influence on the people, actually. And like I said, because it's land, it's actually very localized. It's close. It's personal. All right? So you, in being the salt of the earth, you in having that influence in the people around you, in your neighborhood, potentially. Martin Lloyd-Jones, who's a very famous pastor, teacher, whatever, he wrote this two-part book on the Sermon on the Mount, and I haven't stolen all of it this morning, but I've, man, these quotes are just too good not to not use. Okay, and he says, salt is essentially different from the medium in which it is placed, and in a sense, it exercises all its qualities by being different. So, well, he wrote this in like 1950-something. So in modern English, it's more like saying salt is significant in being different, but it works because it is different. That's the main reason behind it. That's how it operates. So think about this then. Jesus is talking about the kingdom. He's telling people how they should live. He's setting up this teaching for what it means to follow him. And he's essentially saying you all need to be different. But different how? What does that look like? Well, actually, if you go just a couple verses above you, you'll see he told us what it means to be this salt. Verse 3, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Now, this is not a power move. Okay, this is not a hostile takeover mentality. This is not an aggressive form of being different. In fact, if anything, it's completely counter to the world in which we live in, and I would say it's also completely counter to the world that they were living in, remember? They were occupied by Rome, okay? Hostile takeover 101, and yet we're in a similar position. This is backwards. This is upside down, and yet this is kingdom living. And this just doesn't make sense. It goes against our very nature. I think oftentimes we try and, you know, we read through this and we're like, okay, behavior modification. I can just like, you know, I can force myself into this place. I have two small, wonderful, beautiful children, and Stella and Adria, and they have an unbelievable sin nature, the likes of which that you know, at first glance, you're like, no, it's not even possible. And oh, it's very, very true. And it's amazing because I only taught them a little bit of how to be, you know, a lying, cheating, whatever else. And then, I'm kidding, of course, it all was natural. Like, they just had it in them. It's an unbelievable thing when you have children. And then it's even more unbelievable when you have grandparents who raised you one way and said, don't do this. But then they get grandchildren, they're like, they can do whatever they want. The double standard is huge. I mean, it's just, it's massive. But the reality is this, no matter how much I try and, you know, if I put a bowl of M&Ms, like my father does, on the kitchen table, and he just says, the girls can have it whenever they want some. It's for them. And I just say, girls, please don't eat any more M&Ms. Do you think they're going to listen to me? They're not going to listen to me. They're just going to take what they want, you know? And I can, there's punishment and whatever else and all that stuff. It doesn't work. Behavior modification, this educate and pressure. Back in 2019, when we could still meet in buildings with people, we had a conference, and we had this speaker from England come, and his name was Peter Mead. And when people from England come, they can tell you anything because they have a great accent, and you just listen to whatever they say. It's marvelous. And he essentially got up, and he just said, I'm going to ruin all of your ministries. It didn't sound like that, but, you know, I want to do it. I won't do it. But he said, you're all youth workers, and it's great that you're youth workers, but I'm here to ruin everything that you do because you have this idea that your mind, your thoughts, your brain, if I just tell you what to do, if we just educate and pressure, then your thoughts will affect your heart, which will affect the actions of the students you're trying to reach. Okay? And he goes, in all honesty, though, their hearts affect their thoughts, which affect their actions. And you can educate and pressure until you're blue in the face. If this kid loves something else, that's the way they're going to go. And the same thing is true in here. These attitudes, or beatitudes, as they are referred to, this is not something you just wake up in the morning and you're like, I'm going to be meek, I'm going to be meek, I'm going to be meek, I'm going to be meek. It doesn't happen, especially on Long Island. But remember how he started this. Remember how he started this, how Jesus started this in verse 13. What does he say? He says, you. Okay, so what is this supposed to, what is this? So I'm supposed to be salt. What does this mean to be salt? So lockdown gave us something rare and unheard of in the Czech Republic. Time with our neighbors. Czechs don't do things with their neighbors, okay? They stay in their lane, and the only time you interfere with other people is when something is going wrong, and then you get to point out to the person next to you, hey, check out that guy. Like, they do not interact on a regular basis. And yet, we didn't have much of a choice because we couldn't go anywhere or do anything else. And so suddenly we just begin to build semblances of relationships that we probably would not have had otherwise. So when I do something like cut my section of the yard and then proceed to cut my neighbor's section of the yard, it gets a response. Now, I need to clarify something. I am a 40-year-old man alone in a house full of girls, okay? I spent the last year and a half doing more Zoom meetings than I care to remember. I needed something tangible that I could say, it looked like this when I started and it looked like this when I finished. I need a lawn that I can fully embrace and say, this is my thing. It's all I have. And it's not big enough, okay, in all honesty. It's like, it's kind of the size of the stage. And then it was like, well, you know what? I can do their yard too. You know, I'll just do their yard too. And they were like, what are you doing? I was like, I'm cutting the yard. Like, I'm cutting the grass. Like, no, you don't need to cut our grass. I'm like, okay, I'm still going to do it anyway, though. Like, you guys don't understand. I need this. But I would just cut their grass. And then, you know, they have a little girl. We had two little girls. And so they had a trampoline. And we built, like, kind of a little slide thing. And I was like, yeah, use our slide thing. And they're like, well, use our trampoline. This doesn't happen in the Czech Republic. And we just begin to interact and build relationships with our neighbors, starting with something as small as cutting the grass. And so Martin and Carolina, Martin told me, because they just had a baby this past year, and so a number of weeks after the baby was born, that, you know, we were able to kind of have celebrations again, and so he invited family over to celebrate the birth of his new daughter, and he invited us. And he told me, he was like, man, I got to be honest with you. When the landlord, Robert and Daniela, when they told us that Americans were moving in, I thought, oh, great. Here comes some fat, selfish, you know, closed off, good for nothings. Sorry. But you guys are great. And we really appreciate you. So this is a little salty, if you will. Another example, our church, we have a very specific connection to some of the hospitals in town because our pastor, who's not fully into the pastorate yet, he's kind of transitioning in, so he's still working a full-time job, and his full-time job is, he is head of one of the infectious disease wards in the city. Boy, what a great time to have that career, I'll tell you what. But Cuba was able to get us connections with some of the hospitals, and so our church began to make cookies and sweets and cakes and food and whatever else, and we would bring them to the exhausted nurses and staff, which for us was very small, but for them was otherworldly. They had never experienced something like it, so much so that we made the news on a couple of occasions because it's like people are bringing things to someone they don't know for no reason whatsoever. Like, this is unheard of. Another example I just want to give you as well from over the last year and a half. Yes, we're based in the Czech Republic, but our team now is the entire JV community. So we get to hear about other things that are happening. And one of them was our Polish team, so this is just north of us, when it was evident that all of the summer activities of the English camps and music camps and basic things they usually do were all going to get canceled. They said, what are we going to do? What are we going to use with our time? You know, we could try and maybe come up with like a different type of camp thing, but I don't know if that's going to work. And they had a bunch of different thoughts. And finally they said, no, we know what we're going to do. We are going to call and check in on all of the leaders who would have been running and doing these camps. And not just like in a once a month kind of call and check in, but like regularly. Like, we are going to insert ourselves into their lives. We're going to ask what's going on with them. We're going to help them if they need help. We're going to send them money so they can go out and get coffee when you can actually get coffee. We're going to walk with them in the woods if that's an opportunity. Like, we are going to insert ourselves into their lives so that we can care for the people behind the programs that we've been so focused on. And it was massive. So much so that their strategy and game plan for this coming school year from September all the way till June is that every one of the Polish team members says, we are going to find a Timothy and we're also going to find a Paul, and that's our primary job this year, because we don't know what we're going to be able to do, but we know what we can do. We can build into the lives of others and have others build into us as well. And these things have repercussions that will begin to last and stretch beyond what we are even aware of. And so I would also ask the question for you guys as well. What does that look like in your neck of the woods? What does it look like to be this salt? What does it look like to be different? Now, there's a flip side to that, but we'll save that one for the end. We're going to focus on the positive stuff for the time being. So, but wait, there's more. Verse 14, you are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Once again, key word we're looking for here, you. You. Okay. Let's think about light for a second. We kind of said what salt does. What does light do? You know, it's very kind of like an abstract question if you stop and think about it. Like, what is the nature of light? Light is amazing, by the way. I don't know if you're aware of it, but the only way you're able to see right now and comprehend what's going on is because of light. If there was literally no light, which, by the way, too, these are nice. These weren't here last time. It looks really good in here. If there was no light, and I mean literally no light, you would not be able to see anything. I mean, and maybe you've heard the famous C.S. Lewis quote that I'm kind of paraphrasing here, but, you know, Christianity, I see, it's like seeing the sun, you know, because the sun not only just like shines, but also illuminates and brings everything else to life in the same way. And so light illuminates. It allows us to comprehend what's going on around us. You've been in a car at night, and I know at some point in your life, you're on some dark road, and you're like, lights off, lights on. We've all done it. It's okay. Like, we've all done it, because it's just like, wow. Look at that. Ah, there it goes again. Ah, can't see anything. Okay, that's enough. Now, I'm also a bit of a space nerd, an astronomy junkie, if you will. If you bring me to NASA or like a rocket launch or something, I'm just crying and just like out of control excited. But light is a big deal in space. If you look at the sun, don't look at the sun, but the light that comes from the sun is actually 8 minutes old. Okay, you right? Am I right? Am I right? We got it. Okay, we're checking there. All right, good, good, good. We can tell our kind. It's okay here. Exactly. So think about that. Light. It took 8 minutes to travel. Do you know how far it is from the sun to the Earth? Anybody? 93 million miles. Exactly. One astronomical unit. 93 million miles in 8 minutes. Transatlantic travel would be so much easier if we could attain that level of speed. I'll tell you what, light goes. It moves. It is super fast. Some of those constellations, if you look up at the night sky, that light started traveling to you in Roman times, okay? This is unbelievable when you think about the way that light just goes in every direction and you can't really stop it. Another Martin Lloyd-Jones, if you will, to humor me. Light not only exposes the darkness, it shows and provides the only way out of the darkness. A way out of the darkness. You are the light of the world. A way out of the darkness. Not society, not knowledge, not the internet, not science, not good feelings, not celebrities, not the Mets. You, believers in Jesus, a city set on a hill cannot be hidden. One of the things I love about living in the Czech Republic is there are castles everywhere. I mean, for real. There are castles everywhere. And where do you think those castles are built, folks? They're on the tops. There's no castles in valleys. Because castles in valleys, bad idea. Rubble. No castles in valleys. Castles are just on the hills. I'm going to drive my girls nuts because we'll drive around and I'll just be like, girls, there's a castle. Hey, girls, there's a castle. Girls, see the castle? Yes, Dad. Girls, another castle. Okay. They're everywhere. City set on a hill because it has the best vantage point. It's able to see, and everyone knew where it was. It wasn't an accident. So think about this. If we're supposed to be salt, close, specific, local, the land, and yet the light is to where? The world. The light of the world. So that means we start here in this place, but yet it expands and goes out in all different directions. Like, this has a much broader, wider reach because of what's taking place here. Like, and really what's happening is Jesus is giving a hint of what is coming, the mission to the Gentiles that we, again, get to be a part of. In fact, he says in John 8, verses 12, he spoke to them saying, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. So he is transferring that light of himself into us. We get to continue on with the mission that was foretold all the way back in Isaiah. And I love this verse. Isaiah 9:2, the people who walked in darkness have seen a great light, and those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them has light shone. You are the light of the world. You are the light of the world. And see, again, this is where the mission kind of comes into play for each and every one of us, all right? He didn't say missionaries are you are the salt of the earth and missionaries are the light of the world, or pastors are the light of the world and theologians are the salt of the earth. No, you are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. When I first went to the Czech Republic, and this was a long time ago, in 2003, you had to have, like, mere Christianity memorized, and you needed to have more than a carpenter in your back pocket. I mean, it was just like an apologetics free-for-all, okay? You just needed to know all the things that you needed to know so that when someone could pull just like a, well, why do bad things happen to good people? Ha-ha! You know, and we could, you know, you had all these stuff. Like, this is how you interacted with students when I first got to know them. And something has happened, I would say, over the last decade or so, because there's been a shift in regards to the young people that we're working with. And no longer is it about the answers to the questions and making sure that we can fill in all the blanks and whatever else. Do you know what they're actually interested in? They're not interested in Jesus. Not yet. But they're interested in you. They want to know what you're really like behind the scenes. They want to know what makes you tick. They want to know that if you're up with this light that you're kind of proclaiming and saying and equipping and training and whatever else that we do in our job, if back here it matches up, all right? They want to know, for lack of a better term, are you worth your salt? They're not interested in the answers anymore. They want to see if this is genuine. They want to feel and experience. And it's a wild thing to encounter because we're going through kind of this generational shift. So it's great that you can have all these events and do these things, but yet it was the Polish team who said, no, I'm going to call, I'm going to check in, I'm going to be close, I'm going to be local. That's the thing that made the most difference. You are the salt of the earth. But if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. And here's where we have to talk about the flip side. Here's that second part. And what does the other one say? You're the light of the world. City set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. So we have to ask the question, how is your salt and how is your light? Is it shining or is it hidden? And something that also needs to be pointed out before we kind of get to that, Jesus said these in a very specific order. The salt comes before the light does, because we've seen and experienced, and especially over the last year and a half with multiple Christian leaders throughout the world whose light might say one thing, but their salt is something else. There's a specific order in which this is supposed to happen because, like we said, this is the heart posture. This is those beatitudes in action, so that whatever is broadcast, whatever is shown, is actually genuine and real. And that's the same with the students we're working with. They want to see if the salt, if the light that you're broadcasting, that you're saying that Jesus is great and everything's going well and blah, 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 if behind the scenes it doesn't match up, they're going to know instantaneously. Because, I mean, let's be honest, church. I think this is the same for us as believers today, because there are a load of stressed out, angry, money-loving, anxious, hurtful, impatient, nasty people out there. And that's not even including the non-Christians. Oh, see what I did there? See what I did there? Right? But it begs the question, are we different? Honestly, are we different from what is outside these doors? Are we different from what we come in contact with on a regular basis? Do we match the Beatitudes? Do we shine the peace that passes understanding? Or are we just like lost in a kingdom and stuck in darkness? One more time for Martin Lloyd-Jones. The glory of the gospel is that when the church is absolutely different from the world, she invariably attracts it. It is then that the world is made to listen to her message, though it may hate it at first. Otherwise, if we Christians are indistinguishable from non-Christians, we are useless. We might as well be discarded like saltless salt, thrown out and trodden underfoot by men. Now, see, this is also the advantage of speaking every 2 years. I can come and say all this heavy stuff, and then I'm just going to walk away. It's really, Patrick, you got him next week. You're going to be great. No, I'm kidding, because I ask myself the same question, and I have to ask myself the same question all the time. Because those neighbors, Martin and Carolina, Danielle and Robert, Michael, Petra, they're all watching us. They're all seeing who we are. And if I get just as perturbed and ticked off and whatever else, and if I say the same things and do the same things as like everybody else they come in contact with, there's nothing, so what? There's nothing special about us. You don't seem to have all these things that you're talking about. It doesn't line up. Am I different? Do I really stand out in this world? And I think that's something we have to continue to ask ourselves, especially as Christians in 2021. And I say this lovingly because I feel like we've heard it a whole bunch. People throw up their hands and they just say, oh, this world is the worst. Everything is going terrible. It's so bad. That's what it's supposed to do. If you took a steak and you put it on the back patio in the sun and it began to decompose and got gross, would you get mad at it? Like, I can't believe this is happening. Now, if you got a McDonald's hamburger, I hear you can put them out in the sun and they don't decay. So those don't count. But the reality is, folks, that the world is going to decay. It is not going to get better in any way, shape, or form. The only thing we can do as believers, and this is why Jesus said there is salt and there is light, because that salt can help to try and preserve, to stop. This is why we need to be different. This is why we need to be different. To bring the kingdom into reality requires a life that walks closely with Jesus. And as I said before, this is not behavior modification. This is a heart posture for us as believers so that we do truly look, sound, feel, talk, react, everything differently. So what are some practical tips? How do we do this? This sounds really great, new guy. How do we do this? Well, it actually starts very small. Is your neighbor's garbage can out on the street? When you take yours in, go take theirs in. Maybe offer to help in some yard work. Call a friend and just listen to what they have to say. Don't try and fix stuff. Just be there. Be present for a little bit. Pray with friends when they tell you their problems, right then and there. It doesn't have to be some huge, long thing, but just take advantage of it. Don't react when someone cuts you off. I know, now we're putting a lot of looks on that one there. A lot of looks on that one. Learn to listen to the Spirit's promptings, okay? You know what that is, and you got to listen. I do it all the time. You know, I'll be in a meeting or something, and it's like, hey, you should talk to them. Like, I don't want to talk to them. Like, you should talk to them. Okay, fine, I'll talk to them. Slow down. And pray for your enemies. Practice gratitude often. This is how we made it through in the last couple of years in our home, was we just had to come back time and again and just say, what are we thankful for today? What are we thankful for today? You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. You. Not the theologians, not the pastors, not the missionaries. You, us, we together. Salt of the earth and the light of the world. We have an opportunity to turn people's hearts to Jesus Christ, to bring the kingdom here and now. And this is an opportunity, but this is also part of what Jesus asked us to do. And that's a privilege. You are salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. Let's pray. Father, I think often of some of these questions that we ask ourselves. What does it mean to really follow? What does it mean to walk with you? What does it mean to love my neighbor? What does it mean to be different in this world now? And yet you show us, you guide us, you bring us into that place, and you give us that opportunity. And Father, I thank you for this church. I thank you for the salt in this room. I thank you for the light in this room that is displayed. That as the lives we live begin to show, demonstrate those good works, that people take notice. That not only here in Patchogue, but in Long Island, in our places of work, and with our families and friends, whoever it might be, that influence, that kingdom living becomes clear. People take notice. Because this is what the world is hungering for. This is what they're searching for, and they don't even know it. So I ask a blessing over the missionaries in this room as they go out to their given fields. Thank you for the opportunity to be with them. Thank you for your son. Thank you to be a part of this mission together. In Jesus' name.